Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our classes, The Great Mercy of God. And I know that in my other lessons, I've mentioned this, but just to cover all the bases, once again, keep everyone in the Houston area, South Texas area, in your prayers, just regarding the hurricane that came through. I heard it that it was worse than Harvey. So just keep everyone in your prayers before the Lord, that the Lord's will and purpose can be accomplished regardless of what goes on the earth. Amen. And so today I want to just continue with our classes, The Great Mercy of God. And I was considering, since our last class, I know it's been a little bit of since we had a class, but I was considering whether to continue on into Genesis chapter 18, or to stay maybe in Genesis chapter 17. And I was just considering it before the Lord, and I feel like the Lord put something on my heart, at least something to grab the attention of my heart. And I want to go ahead and share that with y'all today during this class. And you'll notice just hints of this from previous classes, because after sharing it in Spanish, I began realizing, wow, I touched on a lot of the same things in previous classes, and yet here, this one word brings it all together, or words, phrase. And so in Genesis chapter 17, we've covered a whole lot concerning Abram. Abram, and now with Genesis chapter 17, Abram to Abraham. And we've looked how that Abram, he responded to the Lord several times throughout in the scriptures in faith. And his soul was established in reality before the face of God. His soul was established. His heart was beginning to, here's our word, sit, be established. And now in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 17, the Lord introduces the word walk. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Let me get to it. Let me scroll back here. And so we've seen this. We've also looked at Abram and how that even in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and throughout until the Lord makes really clear to Abram, while the Lord himself is speaking to Abram, Abram is looking at Ishmael and nodding and acknowledging everything that he hears from the Lord, but he's acknowledging it in the person of Ishmael. We've looked at that as well. We've looked at very, very briefly, how Sarai laughed at the notion of having a child, of bearing a child in her old age. We also looked at how he laughed, and yet his laugh was more of surprise enjoyment. Surprise rejoicing in the Lord, because remember what Jesus spoke of concerning Abraham, that he leaped forward, Abraham leaped forward, and that's the definition of the word, leaped forward in expectation of the day of the Lord, and Jesus says, and he saw it and was glad, greatly rejoiced. And so we see a whole lot going on with Abram right here. And we've looked at this in previous classes, and now I just want to touch on two words, which are actually, one word that's translated into two words. But let me go ahead and read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, or be perfect, or complete, literally perfect, complete, or having integrity. I'm reading the notes off the New American Standard 1995, New American Standard Bible 1995 edition. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Get to it again. Complete, having integrity. And so we know that Abram has continued in the appearing of the Lord. He has continued. What I mean by that is his heart has continued to turn by the work of the Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has appeared several times already for Abram. And yet in verse 1 of chapter 17 of Genesis, the Lord now wants to establish this, not just a once in a while thing, but actually establish this for a continual thing. Remember, with Abram, in previous classes, when Abram went down into Egypt, it was the Lord's divine providence that brought him back. And after this happened, there's no more account of Abraham going to Egypt ever again. Something was established in the heart of Abram by the Lord. Here, just the same. The Lord wants to establish something in his heart, and this is to continually walk before his face. And of course, we know, brothers and sisters, this is only by the ability of the Lord himself, El Shaddai. That's why he makes himself known unto Abram at this particular time as El Shaddai. Okay? We also know with verse 23, and we've already looked at these verses in previous classes, verse 23, it says, then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with him, who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 90 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And so here's 13 years since Ishmael has been born. Let me go ahead and just read Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 through 22, and we'll just kind of go from there. Verse 18, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God's, and before, that's specifically before your face. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Verse 22. Then he, God, finished talking with him, Abraham, and God went up from Abraham. And these two, well, this phrase right here, God went up. God went up from Abraham. And remember, with verse 18, brothers and sisters, what Abraham tells the Lord, what he tells to God, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before your face. And here we go. because for 13 years, Ishmael had been living before the face of Abraham, Abram. The heart of Abraham, Abram during that time, was fixed upon Ishmael, upon the visible, that which can be seen with the natural eye, understood with the natural mind, reasoned by the natural mind. Before that point in time, Abraham, remember as I mentioned this, Abraham walked on and off, it may be, but he walked in faith, where his heart was turned above by the work of the Spirit, and he was beholding the invisible, the one who is not seen with the natural eye, the one who is not reasoned out by the natural mind, the one who is not known by the natural senses. Ever since the Lord brought Abram in his heart unto Canaan, he had been walking on and off in faith. But right here for 13 years, Abram's heart is beholding the face of Ishmael, the face of humanity, the face of his own product, the face of his own creation. In a sense, my brothers and sisters, Abram was beholding himself. And it is all found here below. And during that time, guess what Abram is declaring to others? Ishmael. Ishmael. I mean, think about it. God had given Abram all these beautiful promises. Abram, for quite some time, had nothing to show for. Give you a seed, multiply you abundantly, as the stars of the heavens, as the sand of the seashore. And Abram had nothing to show for. And now with Ishmael, he has something to show unto others. Something that others can grasp, something that others can easily understand and acknowledge, and something that others can acknowledge and say, yes, that's the will of God, or yes, that's the mind of the Lord, or yes, that's the purpose of the Lord. And so we know all this happened because of Abram going in among the dead into Egypt. And what I mean specifically by that, he went into Hagar, who was an Egyptian, among the dead, to try to produce, by the arm of the flesh, the ability of man, God's promise, what God desires, what God alone had declared. Okay, so 13 years since, right here in this Genesis chapter 17, it's 13 years since Abram, since Ishmael's birth, man takes the initiative, the heart beholding the visible. Abram was walking in faith before this, seeing the invisible for about 10 or more years. Because I think it's Genesis chapter 16 where it says that Abram had dwelt in the land 10 years already. But God, and once again, this doesn't faze God. This doesn't surprise him. This does not catch our God by surprise. No, God knows man. God knows humanity. God knows the ability of man. Except God draw unto his son, man will be drawn by everything and anything else below. And acknowledge it as what God desires or what God has promised. I think it was a previous class, and forgive me if it wasn't during this series, But I mentioned this, and I'll just go ahead and mention this right now, if I hadn't during this series, but everything that can be seen with a natural eye, heard with a natural ear, understood with a natural mind, is continually directing the heart, the attention of the heart, below, unto whatever, doesn't matter what it is. It is God and God alone who directs the attention of the heart and brings the heart in knowledge by the work of His Holy Spirit above unto Christ His Son, unto a person. See, even religious man, even the Christian religion of man will direct unto things below, or maybe things above. But God and God alone directs unto a person, unto Christ His Son. This is what God and God alone does. Abram, my brothers and sisters, for 13 years was directing others unto Ishmael. Because in Abram's mind, Ishmael was now the heir. He walked before the face of Abraham. And to let all in his household know, this one is mine heir, my heir. Of course, the Lord, we know the Lord could have left Abraham in his deception, in his ignorance. And God is so merciful that he didn't. The Lord takes the initiative right here. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. The Lord takes the initiative. Abram was well on his merry way. The Lord steps in and declares the truth. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. Basically, not you, but Christ, the true son, the true heir. Not your fruit, but my fruit, says the Lord. Chapter 17. The Lord desiring to establish Abram's heart in walking as his soul is established in reality when the God of glory first appeared. So let me go ahead and read verse 18 of Genesis chapter 17. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before your face." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants, basically, his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I have made him, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." I love that. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. In verse 21, the Lord now gives Abraham a true expectation. A heavenly, the heavenly, the eternal expectation of his own son, Christ, that is, of God's own son, that which man cannot produce by his own ability, cannot conceive of. All that man could conceive of and can conceive of, God calls Ishmael. So the verse 22, where it says, "And God went up from Abraham." I want us to look at the two words, "went up." It is actually Strong's number 5927. The word in the Hebrew is Allah. Forgive me on my pronunciation. It's in the call Hebrew verb stem. Okay? And I want to go ahead and just read a few definitions for this word. This is the Strong's dictionaries. It says, "A primitive root to ascend, intransitively be high or actively mount, like mount up. And just with that word, you're probably thinking of mount up with wings as eagles, and that is correct. Because that's what I thought of too. And it, yes, it is correct. We're going to see that in a second. This is the, that was the Strong's dictionary for that, for the phrase went up. Strong's number 5927, the lexeme, for, and this, the word is Allah. This is the online Bible Hebrew lexicon. Let me put it over here. I'm not done with it yet. Definition number one, to go up, ascend, climb. This is 1A for the word, for the definitions for the call verb stem. It says to go up, ascend. Go up. Ascend, because remember, for 13 years, Abram's heart was beholding his own face, the face of humanity, the face of man. Being fully convinced, to whatever degree, that he had the promise of God before his face. That whom God himself had promised. Completely convinced of this. To go up, ascend. Now look, definition 1A2. To meet, visit, follow, depart. And I've got some comments here that I made. Depart, basically depart from this current evil age below. Just as the Lord had drawn and brought his soul from this current evil age below, above, into his very own presence, when the God of glory first appeared. And of course, right here during this time, Genesis chapter 17, this is all in the heart, because in the soul it is already established of God the very moment the God of glory first appears. Excuse me. So this is all having to do with the heart, my brothers and sisters. It goes on, to meet, visit, follow. Follow who? Follow ourselves, follow humanity, follow the Adamic man, or follow the Lord. Depart, to be where we be. To be where Christ is found. And we'll go over that in a little bit. And then another word, retreat. Retreat from the world below, finding rest above. It goes on, to go up, come up. And it continues to go on. Definition 1A5, to go up, rise. 1A6, to come up before God. Because remember, for 13 years, Abram was fully content before the face of man, before his own fruit, before his own creation. And one definition, 1A7, to go up. All, and we're gonna see this, all these definitions have built within them, arising above. And remember, brothers and sisters, this is only that which God and God alone does. He brings the soul up in reality, the moment of new birth, and by the same work of his Holy Spirit, he directs the heart, brings the heart now in knowledge, from the knowledge of man below, which is complete ignorance, gross ignorance and darkness, unto the knowledge of God above, who is Christ, his Son. And see, Abram was calling Ishmael the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. But my brothers and sisters, in God's mind, that is gross darkness. That is gross ignorance. That is, how shall we say it? Giving God a corruptible image. No. The Son of God is not the creation of man, my brothers and sisters. The Son of God is the new creation of God. Fruit of the Almighty, what only God and God alone can do. Not what man by his best efforts can produce. Well, I've got it right here in this comment. We have, and this is for those who, well, I'll just lay it out in order. Before we were born again, we were accustomed to death and ignorance. We called death life at that time past. And we called our ignorance wisdom and knowledge at that time past. So we've been accustomed to ignorance for a while. Having been born again, we are still accustomed to ignorance. It is only God and God alone who can bring the true light of His Son. Man cannot do this. It is impossible with man. The light of man is a natural light. No? How natural is light? Is a light bulb? No, it's the invention of man. It comes out of the imagination of man. It's not even natural light, if you will. If you think about it, the light of man is not even natural light. It comes out of his own invention, out of his own creation. The light of God is an eternal light that man cannot corrupt and comes by way of God and God alone when he takes the initiative and declares truth in the midst of ignorance. When he declares his very own Son. So we have been accustomed to ignorance and darkness. It all requires a miracle of God. First for the moment of new birth, then for the knowledge of the new birth, for the light of the new birth, who is Christ and Christ alone. This is the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament. For our words went up. a verb meaning to go up, ascend, to take away, to lift, to offer. This Hebrew word carries with it the connotation of an upward motion. This is God's ability, an upward motion. Man's ability, downward spiral motion. Crash and burn, in other words. What's that? A saying, I guess you could say it. The tendency of man is continually downward. Remember, Egypt is not spoken of as something that is above, upward, but is always spoken of something that is below, downward. And Egypt, in the scriptures, is just, it testifies of the abode of the dead, the grave. That's what Egypt is. A downward motion, downward spiral. Everything of man, everything and anything of man is pointing downward, captivating the attention and keeping the attention below, downward. God and God alone is directing and bringing upward, above, in Christ, His Son. All right. It goes on here, the Complete Word Study Dictionary. It says, it is used generically to denote an ascension to a higher plane. Now, once again, I think I stated this in one of our previous classes. This is not some religion of man trying to get humanity on a higher plane, on a higher level, on a mystical euphoria realm. No, no, my brothers and sisters, no. No, see, all that is man. That's like a big ball of, I won't call it, well, I won't say it, but it's just man. And man's invention, conniving. No. With God, remember, with God, everything is directing above unto a person, Christ his Son. I may have mentioned this in a previous class or in a different class, but I'll just go ahead and mention it right now. All the religions of the world, even including the Christian religion of man, are all the same in this respect. They are all devoid of a person who is Christ, the Son of the living God. They will direct the heart unto whatever, whenever, however, but they cannot and will not direct the heart, the attention of the heart, unto a person, unto Christ the Son. Now, just like Abram, they may direct unto a person, but God calls it Ishmael. God does not direct to anything less than his very own Son. Not man's ability, not man's creation, not man's product, not man's ability, but the fruit of God alone. That which is completely, entirely impossible with man. And remember, even when Jesus of Nazareth, that you read in the Gospels, when he walked among us in the flesh, no one recognized him with the natural eyes. No one recognized him by the natural ear, by the natural reasoning. No, he was an enigma, a puzzle that couldn't be figured out by the natural mind. A person that could not, cannot be known by the natural mind or natural senses, except God make him known. Man continues completely ignorant of his one Son. It goes on. The Hebrew word carries with it the connotation of an upward motion. It is used generically to denote an ascension to a higher place. Excuse me. Let me see that real quick. They have a reference here. Yeah, it's actually Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. That's the higher place, Canaan. Canaan, my brothers and sisters, where the Lord is to be found. Okay? And it goes on, the flight of a bird. I'll read it. You can, because I know you've already thought about this one. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Gosh, what a verse to throw in here in Genesis chapter 17. Look at this. What a reference. Listen to this reference here. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount. There's one of the definitions. Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That means they will continue abiding above my brothers and sisters. I think it's kind of ironic that they would use this as a reference right here, but the word is in there that we're looking at when the Lord went up. God went up from Abraham. Verse 22. The same word right here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord Abraham and Sarai got tired of waiting, so they went about to produce what they believed God's desire was. God calls it Ishmael. God calls it no, not. And believe it or not, as I mentioned, God gives Abraham an expectation. That now Abraham begins an expectation to wait for this set time next year. Once again, an eternal expectation that the heart is submitted unto. The above expectation that the heart is submitted unto. The definitions go on in the Complete Word Study Dictionary. Theologically significant in the fact that this verb is used in relationship to a person's appearance before God. And I would say specifically before the face of God, because in the Old Testament, when it says before, it's not just, well, I would say several times, at least the verses that I've looked at that caught my attention, it is before the face. So, theologically significant is the fact that this verb is used in relationship to a person's appearance before, I'll interject my own word, the face of God. Because remember, brothers and sisters, for 13 years, Abraham's heart was in relationship before the face of Ishmael, of the flesh, of man, of humanity, of that which is found below. It goes, the definition goes on. One, I love this. I love this. This is true. We just don't believe this. This is part of a definition. You can look it up. This is the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament, Baker Carpenter, for the words went up, Strong's number 5927. Look it up. Look at what this says. This is true. I've said this several times. We just don't believe it. Look at this. One must go up to stand before the Lord. Now, I'll read their reference here. This is Exodus chapter 34, excuse me. Exodus 34, starting with verse 23. Three times in the year all your men shall appear before my face, the Lord God of Israel, for I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year. That was an ordinance that all Israel had to do. They had to go up. They had to go up and appear before the Lord. This was something that the Lord had established for them as a testimony. Because, my brothers and sisters, after Genesis chapter 17, this is established as a lifestyle in Abraham. Going up, the Lord establishing, and remaining before the Lord, before the face of the Lord. And see, I'll read the definition again. One must go up to stand before the face of the Lord. So in other words, to find him, one must go up. Where is our heart looking? I know I've got the verse somewhere around here. We'll probably end up reading it again. But I know that the women, after the crucifixion and the burial, the women go to the tomb looking for Jesus, looking for the living one, the one who had just been crucified. Thank God that there's two witnesses. You find it in the Gospel of Luke. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, the word is established. There's two witnesses of the resurrection. And they ask the ladies, who are you looking for, basically? I know you're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. I know you're looking for Jesus. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here below. He is risen. And even to this day, my brothers and sisters, to discover, to find our Lord, our heart must be directed by a work of the Holy Spirit and come by also a work of the Holy Spirit from the knowledge of man below, which is complete gross ignorance and darkness, above unto the knowledge of God, who is Christ himself. Everything of God, God and God alone, and everything of God alone is directing and bringing the heart above unto a person who is his son. God alone does this. If you take notes, write that down. God alone, and underline alone, does this. Man doesn't do this. We don't do this. We, like Abraham, who is called the father of faith, we direct unto something below called Ishmael. That's what we do. No, man isn't faithful. God alone is faithful, and he's faithful unto his son. All right, so going on. This is Vine's dictionary for the same two words, went up. The Hebrew, Allah, something like that. Forgive me on my pronunciation. It's Strong's number 5927. It says, I'll go ahead and read some excerpts out of the definitions. It says, to go up, ascend, offer up. This word occurs in all Semitic languages, including Biblical Hebrew. The Old Testament attests it about 890 times. That's a lot of times in the Old Testament. It goes on, next paragraph. Basically, Allah suggests movement from a lower to a higher place. Remember, it is God and God alone who is drawing the attention, directing the attention of the heart, and bringing the heart continually above unto his son. Suggests movement from a lower to a higher place. It goes on. That is the emphasis in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, the first occurrence of the word. Eden was watered by a mist or stream that went up over the ground. It goes on. Allah may also mean to rise up or ascend. This word may mean to take a journey, the journey of Abram, the journey of Abraham, the journey of the heart, the journey of faith. I'm just reading their definition and making comments. To take a journey, as in traveling from Egypt toward Palestine, that is Canaan. Traveling from Egypt to Canaan. Always up. He goes on, the use of Allah, and forgive me on my pronunciation, I know I'm not pronouncing the word right, but I haven't checked it out how to pronounce it, so there you go. to describe the journey from Egypt to Palestine, there you go, from Egypt to Canaan, is such a standard phrase that it often appears without, I love this, geographical reference points. It's such a standard phrase that it often appears without geographical reference points. Why? Because, my brothers and sisters, God did not have a physical, natural plot of land called Canaan in view. No. God has eternally and forever had his only Son in view. Therefore, it's always above unto, above before the face of, from that which is below of man, humanity, unto that, or better well put, him who is above, Christ himself. Joseph told his brothers to go up to their father in peace. That's Genesis chapter 44, verse 17. Even the return from the exile. I love that. Which was a journey from north to south, is described as going up. Ezra chapter 2, verse 1. Why? Because it's not a matter of direction on the earth. Exile. Exile. Exile of ignorance. I mean, during that time, before that time in the book of Kings, I mean, everything just kind of went downhill. Their hearts were turned to everything and anything but God himself, but the Lord himself. So when the Lord said, okay, since your hearts are dwelling below, everywhere and any which way there is, why don't you just go fully and dwell below? So they went into exile, captivity. Yes, the captivity of ignorance. Ignorance of the one who is continually present in the midst. And see, all that captivity was for, my brothers and sisters, at least this is what I believe, was so that the heart could be prepared by the Spirit of God to be directed and come yet once again above. How long is that going to take? Only God knows. The Vine's definitions go on. It says, thus the reference may be not so much to a physically going up, but to a figurative or spiritual going up. There you have it. That's in regard to the captivity, because from the captivity, they actually went down to Canaan, down to the promised land. But it is always up to the promised land, up from captivity. And there's, once again, there's a reason for that, my brothers and sisters. Captivity is ignorance. The Lord is continually directing above unto his Son. The eternal knowledge of God, his Son, not something we learn, no, not something we have to study, no, not something we have to memorize, no, a person, very simply, a person. So the definition goes on, this usage appears long before Ezra's time, when it is said that one goes up to the place where the sanctuary is located. And of course, my brothers and sisters, the sanctuary is one where one comes to find God. The verb became a technical term for making a pilgrimage. That's Exodus chapter 34, verse 24. Or going up before the Lord. And more specifically, I would say, before the face of the Lord. The verb Allah is used in a causative stem to signify presenting an offering. And that's where I think we've looked at this word before, maybe in the Ola, something like that. when Abraham had the covenant between the pieces, the pieces were on both sides, and the Lord, the Father and the Son walk and cut covenant together. Abram's off to the side asleep, in a deep sleep. But it's always going up before the Lord. And I want to read this last definition, and this is actually from a Spanish definition, because I thought it was really nice, just kind of the way it was really briefly stated. I know we've read it before, but it was kind of like defined as we read it. And right here, it's just kind of briefly stated, almost generically stated, and I love this because I make the following comment. I'll make a comment because of it. This is the Dictionary of Biblical Hebrew, Chavez, for the words went up, Strong's number 5927. 5927? Yes, 5927. I don't even know my own handwriting. In the call verb stem, the first word, go up. First definition number one, go up. Definition number two, go up. To go to the promised land. And they have as reference Genesis 13:1, when God, by his divine providence, brings Abram back to Canaan. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south, but went up from Egypt. So, to go up, to go to the promised land. And right here are my comments. First, in reality, the moment of new birth, when the God of glory first appears, because the God of glory is present in the soul is now present in glory, the land of promise, the land of the living, the land wherein righteousness dwells. The land who is Christ himself, my brothers and sisters. Because the Lord is present in the land. That's first. Then, in knowledge. The heart coming in knowledge, where the Spirit of God has already brought the soul in reality since the moment of new birth. And just to end right here, let's go back to Genesis chapter 17. When it said, verse 22, then he finished, let me just mark this, 22. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And my brothers and sisters, because of Abraham's encounter with El Shaddai, because of God in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, taking the initiative and appearing before Abram, at the time before he changed his name. Now Abraham's heart also is turned and goes up again. Verse 22, then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Verse 23, so Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day. Now there is true light in the midst. Now there is the true light of God in the midst, as God had said to him. My brothers and sisters, at this point, at this moment, there is no longer the flesh before the face of Abraham, if you will, before the face of his heart, because his heart has now been directed above, yet once again, before the face of God. I love this. Our God did not have to do this. Our God does not have to do this with us. Because God the Father knows the truth, my brothers and sisters. It is we, it is we, it is us who do not know the truth, who is his Son, Christ Jesus. So thank God for God. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace that he always does what he is always faithful to do, direct and bring unto the person of his Son time and time and time again. So I'll go ahead and end for this class. I think the dogs are excited about something. They're tired. They're ready for me to end the class. But please present all this to the Holy Spirit. Present it to the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, that God would take by his Spirit that which he desires to take and use it for his own end, for his own purpose. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.